We hear again a few of the verses from the reading of Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. And then in verse 8, to the Son he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. In the name of Jesus. The first commandment, you shall have no other gods. And then as the catechism gives it, what does this mean? It means that we should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. And then the large catechism asks the question, what does it mean to have a God? Or what is God? And the large catechism gives the answer, a God means that from which we are to expect all good and to which we are to take refuge in all distress. So that to have a God is nothing else than to trust and believe in him from the whole heart. It is the confidence and faith of the heart alone that makes both God and an idol. If your faith and trust are right, then your God also is true. On the other hand, if your trust is false and wrong, then you do not have the true God, for these two belong together, faith and God. That upon which you set your heart and put your trust is properly your God. So, if we want to know who our God is, we just look at who it is, or what it is in which we place our trust. What do we turn to when we are in despair or fear, or when we desire good gifts? If we fear our world or things of our world, or look to our world for good gifts, then we know who our God is. It's the world. If we fear shame or something of ourselves, or we despair of our own sin, then we know who our God is. It's ourself. To fear something or someone other than the true God, to turn to something or someone other than the true God for every good gift, is to have a false God. And we know that in Scripture, the word for that is idolatry. So that we do not fear anything or anyone other than the true God, so that we do not turn to any false God for every good gift, so that we are rescued from every idolatry of our world and our own feelings and sinful flesh, so that we fear and love and trust in God above all things, God in heaven reveals himself to us. That's our rescue. This is who our God is. It's from Hebrews 1:8 that we just read. To the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter, O Son, of your kingdom. So he is our God, the Son of the Father, whose throne is forever and who is over all things and all times. And now in the church, it's Lent, the season in the church year when the church considers her Lord's death, his journey to the cross, his passion. It's a time of prayer and repentance, a season of reflecting on baptism as we look forward to our Lord's resurrection on Easter Day. But before Easter comes, we know it's the shedding of the blood on the cross. By that blood, he purges our sin. And having purchased on the cross the kingdom of his people, he has now ascended to heaven to take the eternal throne. He is our God. As the letter to the Hebrews puts it, he is upholding all things by the word of his power. He, having by himself purged our sins, has sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Hebrews 1:3. So he is our God. He's purged our sins with his own blood. He has been seated at the right hand of his Father in heaven, and from heaven he is bestowing his gifts on us, upholding all things by his word. He is our God, and that is commandment number one. The Large Catechism reminding us of what it means to have a God. A God means that from which we are to expect all good and to which we are to take refuge in all distress, so that to have a God is nothing else than to trust and believe in him from the whole heart. We may expect all good from our Lord Jesus, for by his blood he purges our sin. By his word he declares us his people, and in him we take refuge in all distress. In baptism he makes us his brothers and sisters, so that his Father is our Father. In his word of forgiveness he breathes upon us his Holy Spirit, as he did to those apostles in the locked room, so that the Holy Spirit continues to pour out his gifts of forgiveness and life. In all of this, the Son has made himself our God, so that we rejoice in his salvation and we trust and believe in him from the whole heart. In the name of Jesus, amen.